All right, the recorder has been started. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, which is on page 427 on the Kindle. All right, here we go. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered. And that's a quote from the Bible. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered, is a reference to perception, not truth. The time has come to release misperception, which does not point to truth, and accept gladly the knowledge of the heart. One may rejoice over progress as he notices his perception is being healed. Transition from misperception to true perception is a glory that is to be. This is the symbol of your acceptance of your truth and of your true desire for that which has always been true. And just before I turned on the recorder, Francine was talking about how she's noticing shifts now, how she's noticing that she's happy for no reason, and even happy when, you know, if you let the mind get involved, when things aren't going so well, and she's still able to be happy, and she was kind of celebrating that in the way she was telling us, and that's exactly what 1 Peter is saying, celebrate it. And, you know, we've all heard before that anything you have gratitude for expands, right? So if you have gratitude for these little shifts when they're occurring, well, then that's wonderful. That's going to lead to more shifts. Of course, gratitude is different than pride or, you know, bragging, being arrogant. I'm better than you. I'm happy and you're not. I must be a better spiritual student, you know, all that kind of stuff. This is just a genuine thrill, which is what you were expressing, really. Mm-hmm. Just a genuine thrill at noticing, oh, my God, it's changing. You know, I can really see a difference. Verse 3 to 9, but starting down at sentence 4. The transition to true perception is glory. Have gratitude for yourself and this miracle, which is the symbol of your own true desire. Be at peace in your gratitude for all that you are seeing now. You are embracing yourself. And this embrace is an enduring embrace, which cannot fade away. Allow it into your awareness, and you look upon the miracle that is occurring within your mind now. It is a miracle that shall not fade away, because it is but the reflection of your truth and your true desire. So really, you know, what's happening during 1 Peter is we're being encouraged, again, to be excited about these shifts and also not to be worried that we're going to lose them. You know, one time when I was listening to Inner Ramana, I don't remember which message it was, but I got the image of an escalator just going up, you know, like up to heaven or up to the self, you know, and like, once you get on that escalator, guess what's going to happen? It's going to keep going up. Now, as you go up, 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 up an escalator, your view changes if you're looking around, right? You can see more, you see differently. So you notice the shifts that are occurring. And, of course, at each given moment, you only see what you can see from where you are on the escalator. But it's moving, and you're being carried up. And that's kind of what 1 Peter is saying here, too. It's saying, you know, be happy that you're noticing these shifts, the shifts that Dan talked about as well. You know, be happy that you're noticing these shifts. These shifts mean that you're on that escalator and you are awakening. That's basically what's happening. Verses 13 to 16. Be holy because I am holy is an acknowledgement of who you are. Accept yourself as you are, and that is the acceptance of I am holy. And of course, when this says accept yourself as you are, it's not referring to the body or the personality, although you want to accept that too. But this is really asking you to accept your changeless nature. This is asking you to accept that you are unaffected by things like mistakes that you make, for example. that doesn't affect the true you. And so, you know, realize that and go ahead and allow yourself to go through life and be not affected. I remember when I first started experiencing the shifts of not being affected, my mind attacked that. And what my mind would say was, I don't remember the exact words, but the gist of it was that by not getting upset because I made a mistake, I was just going into denial. That was the gist of it. It was trying to tell me that the shifts were me losing touch with reality. A normal person would be upset about this. You should be upset about it. You should feel guilty about this. You know, and my mind was trying to tell me that I was going into denial, when actually what was happening is I was coming out of denial. I wasn't denying the changeless, non-affected self anymore. I was starting to realize it and starting to be non-affected by what happened around me. So it's interesting how the mind attacked that, you know. And in your case, you know, you might experience like a husband at some point attacking it a little bit, you know, because you have that. I was living alone, so my mind had to play that role. But you know, we're not going into denial. We're coming out of denial when we start to be honestly non-affected.
That's what I noticed, especially this week. We were talking about expecting attacks and stuff like
yes.
that. And I noticed, yeah, I expect attacks a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I do. And I make it up. After that, I noticed I made it up. It's in my head. But it has happened in the past anyway. Kind of always been there. So anyway.
Now, what were you going to say, sir?
We could all quit walking around with big targets and bullseyes on our backs. I don't know why we do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, verses 13 to 16. Be holy because I am holy is an acknowledgement of who you are. Accept your true self as you are, and that is the acceptance of I am holy. You see your truth in the symbol of Jesus because your truth is accepted in his way. It is the acceptance of I am eternal. It is the acceptance of I am with God. It is the acceptance of I am in God and God is one in me. What's interesting to me is how this is really a stepped process. You know, the ego wants to hear I am God, and the ego doesn't want to hear I am God. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny like that. Sometimes the ego, you know, you'll watch people get all, oh, I'm God, you know, all egotistical about it. But then at the same time, it is the ego that if you say, oh, I'm God, oh, you know, and doesn't like that idea, like, oh, that seems blasphemous or something. That's also the ego. So what's happening in this particular paragraph is it's kind of stepping up step by step. It just starts with I am eternal. Then it moves into I am with God, and then it moves into I am in God, and then God is one in me. It's actually doing that for the ego. Not that the ego is the one that's one with God, because it's not, but the ego is the one reading this paragraph, right? And so what it's really trying to do is it's kind of trying to step in and ease into a place where the mind can begin to accept the truth without reacting arrogantly and without reacting fearfully. So it's kind of a gentle process. And any one of us, if we needed to, in order to be comfortable, we could stop at any of those stages. We could stop at I am eternal, just stop and be with that and settle into that. Or we could stop with I am with God, you know, and just settle into that. So there's a line here for every one of us that allows us to start to move away from where we perceive ourselves to be, move away from our current identification towards our true identification in whatever way feels gentle and humble and not fearful for us.
What's helpful with in MPP that we're doing is, okay, say we read a chapter or two chapters, and we pick in there like a sentence or a paragraph that really strikes us, and we just write that down, put it in our pocket, and revisit that throughout the day, especially when the ego comes and you know, you want to look at the ego and let it go, and then go back to God. So it's just nice to have that.
Yeah. All right, so that takes us to verses 22 to 25. The Word of God is you, and you are the extension of His Word, so that all that you are, He is. And all that He is, so are you. So we're still just kind of easing into that. There's really no difference. You can't separate. I mean, that's what it means by no difference. You can't separate and say, this is God, and this is you. You know, we can talk about God and the Son of God, and we can talk about, well, I'm reading the Bhagavad Gita again right now, and in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about himself as being completely transcendent of the self, which is also kind of like God. That's like God and then something transcendent of God. You know, so you can talk about God and something transcendent of God, or you can talk about the Son of God and God, which is transcendent of God, and that's okay. But the truth is, you can't separate these things. If you think of God as just life, right? Just life, isness itself. And you think of the Son of God as awareness. Can you separate awareness from life? Can you draw a line and say, this is where awareness begins? You can't. You can't separate the Father from the Son. It's impossible. Now, we all know that life has to be the foundation for awareness. We all know awareness can't be the foundation for life, right? So we can call life the Father, and we can call awareness the Son, but you can't, but at the same time, they're absolutely one and the same. There's no way you can separate them, right? So that's what this is moving towards. This is moving towards this acceptance. You know, I mean, you could say, I am God, although that sounds very, very arrogant to the ego, but if God is life, I am life. You can't separate me from life, right? You can't do that. Sentence 3. This is the correction of perception. This is the expression of all that is true. So all these previous sentences that we've been going over here are moving away from I am a person, I am a woman, I am Regina, right? Or even I'm a stupid head, you know, or whatever you think of as yourself, right? Moving away from that to I am God, without saying that directly because that's so arrogant to the ego. But, and it says, this is the correction of perception. When you move around away from the idea that you are this person, why are you
definitely
laughing?
Not. Most definitely not.
What definitely not?
I am not this person.
Oh, I am not this person. Okay, when you move away from the idea I am this person, and you move into seeing yourself as God or one with God or however your mind allows you to accept that, that's the correction of perception right there. This is the expression of all that is true. By trusting the light, which cannot be defined, as you and the expansion of you, you reach into eternity with an arm that is already there. That's an interesting line, isn't it? And, you know, many people, of course, on this spiritual path think they're trying to achieve something. And I suppose in one way you could say we are. You know, we're trying to achieve right perception instead of wrong perception. But there's nothing to become or nothing to actually, you know, become. Yeah, to become. Nothing to change into being because you already are both life and awareness. You can't even have misperception if you don't have first life and awareness. Who would there be to misperceive? Right? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
They're even the foundation for misperception. So obviously life and awareness are there, even on your worst day. So you already are. You hear this over and over again. You already are what you're seeking. And that's what this is saying as well. That when you reach into eternity with an arm that is already there. So let's go on to chapter 2. In truth, you can rid yourself of nothing, for there is nothing to be rid of. You are pure and perfect and in communication now. Nothing has ever failed or gone wrong. It is perfect as you are. If something seems to have gone wrong or seems to be less than perfect, you are seeing through a veil of misperception. It is only this veil that must be lifted so you can see that it is all perfect and it has always been. Love yourself. Do not seek outside of you for something that is better than you in which to love. Seek only within. For when you believe the symbol of love is outside of you, you also believe that you are not love itself. In this belief, you cannot find love, for what you see outside comes from what is valued within. If you value the belief that you are unlovable, a world without love is the world you shall see. Of course, there's lots of ways, and I know y'all are aware of this, there's lots of ways that we seek outside ourselves for love, or you could also call it joy or security. You could use any of those words, right? And we all know there's just all kinds of ways to seek outside ourselves. But this is really telling us, and we know this, that when we seek outside ourselves for love, for security, for joy, we're looking in exactly the opposite direction, exactly the wrong direction. And what we need to do is turn that around, and we need to learn just to seek for ourself. And again, in seeking for ourself, it's not referring to our personality, it's not referring to our mind, it's referring to our life awareness. Yeah. And learn to just look for that and learn to be that, or at least be with that. You can, even before you can feel like you're being that, you can feel like you're being with it. You feel like you're, even though it's in you, it's hard to describe, but maybe some of you know the feeling, you can feel like you are resting with the changeless part of you. You don't necessarily feel like you are it yet. You're still identified more with the mind, but you can kind of feel yourself settling in and resting with it. And that's similar to the sentence that we saw up above that said, I am with God, right? You can be with. And that's moving in the right direction. So even if you can't, you still see yourself as the mind, you can't see yourself as life awareness without mind, you as mind, if that's how you see yourself, can rest with life awareness, right? And when you do that, you're starting to move in the right direction. That's much, much, much better than looking outside of yourself for love, for joy, for security. Moving in the right direction, learning to be with yourself. That takes us to verses 7 to 8. Everything that you see and the way in which you see it is a reflection of your feelings and your beliefs about you. There isn't a single exception to this statement. Everything that you see is a reflection of how you see yourself. Now that's a really, really interesting sentence because, well, this is referring to everything. You know, it's very interesting if you watch the news at all because at least on CNN, you know, they have the news a little bit now. Used to, CNN had news all the time. Now they have the news a little bit. And then the rest of the time, it's all these people sitting around talking about whatever the top story is. It's not really news anymore, you know. And if you watch these people, they can have so many different opinions about the same thing, right? They're all looking at the same news story, and they have vastly different opinions. They're not seeing the same thing the same way. What they are really exposing when they're sharing their opinions is their own thinking. That's what they're sharing. They're exposing their own thinking, the way they think, the way they look at the world, the way they believe. And to be honest, that's the same thing that we're doing. Whenever we talk about somebody else, or if we share our opinion about what's happening in the world, the only thing we're really doing is exposing ourself. You can only talk about yourself. You can only see the world through the filter of your mind. You can only see the world through your beliefs. So that's what this is pointing out. You know, I may look out there and see a particular news story and say, oh my God, this is horrible. So-and-so should have been aware of that before that happened. This was purely preventable. They really screwed up, blah, 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 blah. But what I'm doing is revealing that I think there are mistakes. The world is a mistake. I'm a mistake. I'm exposing a belief in mistake. And the mistakes I see out there, I'm going to see here too, right? I'm exposing a belief in mistakes. And whenever anyone speaks, that's all they're doing. They're exposing. And that's what this is pointing out to us. This is saying when you look out there, what you think you're seeing is nothing. What you're doing is you're exposing yourself. You're exposing what you believe. And if we take this seriously, we may still run of the mouth, but we can start listening to our own running at the mouth. And we can start hearing, oh my gosh, look what I believe. Oh my gosh, look how I think. And you can see that without judgment. And when you're able to start seeing these things, when you're exposing yourself to yourself, that's when you're really going to begin healing. Because as you really see these things, you change immediately. Like if you start to see, oh my gosh, I think everything is a mistake. I think everyone is making mistakes all the time. I think no one is smart. Wow, look at that. I think everything is a mistake. You know, I think no one is smart. And the more you look at it, it kind of starts to just shrink. It starts to lose its power. You know, it's just like, and pretty soon you're like, I'm done with that. I don't want to see that way anymore. And it doesn't happen necessarily that consciously. Like you may not remember the day you made the decision not to see that way anymore. It happens at maybe a super conscious level or something, but it happens because you looked. And at some point, you're looking at the exact same kind of news stories. They're exposing the flaws of what went wrong, and you're just watching. You're not, you know, you're just watching. You're not going, oh my gosh, they screwed up, they should have done this. You're just watching. So the way that you see the world reveals you. It exposes you. And this is a wonderful opportunity because then you can use the way that you see the world to see what it is you're thinking and believing and to look at it. I'm going to read 7 and 8 again, then we'll go into 9 and 10. Everything that you see and the way in which you see it is a reflection of your feelings and your beliefs about you. There isn't a single exception to this statement. Everything that you see is a reflection of how you see yourself. Your perception is changing, and your experience of how you perceive the world is changing also, because you have become willing to experience yourself differently. As you allow change in your feelings regarding yourself, you allow change in your perception of the world, because the world is a reflection of your thoughts and feelings about you. So Francine was telling us before I turned on the recorder, she was telling us how last week she had a lot of resistance. And she says she just sat with that. Do you know what just sitting with that isn't? It isn't judging yourself for being in resistance. It isn't telling yourself what a loser you are. Everybody else is probably loving this week of NTI. I'm a stupid head. I don't love this week of NTI. It's just sitting with it isn't doing all of that. And so what's happening is those types of ideas that may have been there at another time when you were in resistance, they're now healing because you're not feeding them. And that's why a week later you can make a mistake and not feel bad, because you have healed these types of thoughts that you used to always feed yourself. So your entire perception of the world, including your perception of this body, this personality that you call yourself, this changes as you allow yourself to change. And again, you allow yourself to change by not acting with the same habits you've always acted with before. So sitting down and watching resistance instead of judging yourself for resistance is different, right? You're not acting with the same habits that you always acted with before. And that's allowing a change to happen. Verses 11 to 12. Look at the world now and see it honestly. It is your roadmap to the awareness that you want to be, because it shows you where you must stop and look in order to continue the road to where you want to go. So there's some authority in your life, maybe. Maybe it's a minister at the church. Maybe it's a spouse that's an authority. Maybe you work and it's a boss. There's some authority. And you notice that every time this authority tells you to do something, you know whether the authority is recommending that you pray every day or the authority is telling you to, I don't know, whatever. But you notice every time the authority tells you to do so, there's something in you that rebels and says, I'm not going to do that. And just crosses its arms. I'm not going to do that. Even if you go ahead and do it, the rebelling happens first. Okay, this is saying, that's pointing out a place where you need to pause. Pause means look at it. Rest with it. So when the I'm not going to do that rebellion pops up for a minute, you go, look at that rebellion in me. Right?
Yeah, it's the insanity is I'm not gonna do that because I don't agree, and so that's insane. And sanity is like I'm gonna give him what he wants.
Yes.
And it's somehow it's rational. I learned that one a long time ago.
Yeah. I almost always do what people ask me to. The only time I don't is when I get a strong feeling not to. But as a general rule, when somebody asks me to do something, I do it. Like recently we had a friend visiting, and my nails are okay, but I've never been a person to sit around and manicure my nails or anything. And he commented a couple of times that I should do my nails. So I went and did them a little bit, just if somebody, I can't remember, there were other things he asked me to do too while he was here. Whenever he'd ask me to do something, I would go and do it. Because why wouldn't I? What in me would not do it? Right? It's the personal self. It's,
yeah. And so I'm going to stand up and not do that. And that solidifies me and makes me...
Solidifies me, yes.
And so that's a... It's hard. It's difficult to explain, but the best I can do is just say that sanity is actually just giving people what they want in most cases. In 99, I think.
Yeah, occasionally down when I had that guy who was stalking me and wanted to have sex with me, that wasn't a time to give him what he wanted.
When you say no, then it's a genuine no.
Yeah, well, I had a friend one time, because she knew of this teaching we're talking about right now, because the Course says when your brother asks you to do something outrageous, do it. And she says, why don't you just have sex with him? I'm like, no, this is not one of those times. This is not one of those times, So you do have to still have your own intuition. You can't just become completely mindless, because the part of your mind that is intuition is guiding you as well. So there are times when you do need to say no to someone, and you'll know it, you'll feel it. But yeah, the vast majority of the time, you can just do whatever anybody asks you to do. And when you don't want to, when you're saying, no, I'm not going to do that, you're holding on to yourself.
Yeah, that fundamental disagreement is I'm going to rebel against this, because this is, it's obviously hasn't been thought through, or whatever your reasons are, but... So the rebellion seems like you could make a case for it in some ways. So if I go along with this request that seems misguided or something, then I'm in agreement with the misguided request. But actually, all you're doing is being in the true sense, like a pure volunteer effort or being an executor, merely an extension of someone else's, I'll get you something because you can. It's an automatic cooperation. It's a radical cooperation with others.
Yes.
You just become an instrument.
Yes. And, you know, again, we were just using one example. But what this is saying is if you pay close attention to yourself, you will always, you'll learn to always notice when you're not at peace. You know, whether it's, I'm not going to do that, or whether it's people-pleasing, which is almost the opposite, but, you know, like, oh, my gosh, I better do everything they want or they won't like me. See, in that case, that's the time when you need to maybe back off from what you're doing a little bit until that's healed, right? So it sounds like two opposite things, but what's consistent is how do you feel? You know, what you want to do is the opposite of what the ego wants you to do. So if the ego wants you to say, I'm not going to do that, you do your own dishes. Guess what? Maybe you should go do the dishes. But if the ego is saying, oh, you better get in there and wash every dish, you don't want him to think you're not a good wife or whatever, maybe you should let the dishes stay for a while. You know? You always do the opposite of what the ego is saying, and you allow that to be healed. That's what this is really saying. So pay attention, pay close attention to when your ego is really rising up and taking a stand of some type. That's your roadmap. You know, and again, it could just be a political opinion. You know, I don't like that person who's president, blah, blah, blah. As soon as you hear that coming out of your mouth, here's a place where I need to be still. Sit back and just watch. You know, and until there's no place where your ego is rising up. No place. You can just go right through life. Everything can happen around you and the ego never rises up. Until then, every time the ego rises up, you pause. And pause means just look at it with non-judgment. Look at it with non-judgment. Look at it with non-judgment. Because it's in your looking. Because remember who you really are? You're that life awareness. God. So when God looks at something that's not true, it dissolves. Yeah. But if you don't look, it can go on forever. So that's why you want to learn to pause and look. Ah, look at that opinion I had. Ah, look at that resistance I had. Ah, look at how much I want them to think of me a certain way. Ah, look how much, you know, just look at and just look. Just look. Just that's all you're doing. Look. Oh, look. Oh, look. But you do it consciously. It's a conscious looking. And that heals everything. And you can do that anytime, anywhere. Right? So, 11 through 12 again. Look at the world now and see it honestly. It is your roadmap to the awareness that you want to be. Because it shows you where you must stop and look in order to continue the road to where you want to go. The world is a reflection of your mind. By seeing what you see in the world, and by noticing and acknowledging your feelings about what you see, you find the misperceptions that are blinding you to yourself. If you resent this one's authority, you have a resentment against yourself. If you wish that one were different, you are not yet accepting the truth of you. By looking at the world, you find your misperceptions. Look now in willingness with a desire only that misperceptions be healed. And again, I don't know, I didn't count, but a number of times in those last few paragraphs, we saw the word look. It kept, and notice, which is also a type of look, right? Look and notice. That's all it's telling you to do. Look and notice. Look and notice. Look and notice. It's not saying beat yourself every time, right? It's not saying have the willpower to be different. It's saying look and notice. Look and notice. Look and notice. Because looking and noticing heals. So it's really quite simple.
And that's because that's God.
That's God
looking.
That's looking through your.
It's not Francine. That's
right,
looking.
Right. It's got that. That's you know. You can't
that's
separate,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. You can't separate. I mean, could there be a mind without life awareness?
No.
Could there be, I hate you, without life awareness? No. So when you look at, oh, I hate you, and you're looking at those feelings, what's looking with you? Life awareness. You can't take it out of the picture no matter how hard you try.
Right?
Right? So you're just pausing and letting life awareness look at it, and that's going to heal it. I think my page turned, so let me get back to where we were. I'll just start with sentence 5 under 13 to 17. By looking at the world, you find your misperceptions. Look now in willingness with a desire only that misperceptions be healed. Remember that nothing is brought to your attention except that you asked it to be brought to you. So when that thing that you do not like stands before you, and you feel the pain of seeing it as if it were something real, remember this. Before I continue reading, I just want to say, so there are things that obviously are going to come to our attention that we're not real crazy about. You know, you might see, for example, how hateful you can be one day. You might just notice, I really can be quite hateful, especially to the ones I say that I love, right? I mean, the ones that are right here with me, I'm just so hateful. And there may be a temptation to really judge yourself for being so hateful. And this is saying, remember, the reason that you are seeing this, this not being kind that you're calling being hateful, the reason that you're seeing this is so it can be healed. Don't judge yourself. Don't try to repress it and look away. Don't even wish it wasn't there. Just look. And maybe if you want to add something to that looking, add gratitude that it's there, for you, that you're noticing it. Add gratitude that you're noticing it. Because your noticing it is going to heal it. And if you're noticing it now, I mean, you were hateful 5 years ago and maybe didn't even see it, right? So if you're seeing it now, why? Because you're ready for it to be healed. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, starting with 18 to 21. Remember that nothing is brought to your attention except that you asked it to be brought to you. So when that thing that you do not like stands before you, and you feel the pain of seeing it as if it were something real, like I'm hateful, remember this. What you are seeing is not real, but it is your gift to yourself. You have given willingness to let go of misperceptions, so this one has stepped forward in gratitude. It is the symbol of your willingness that misperception be let go. So the reason you're noticing now how hateful you are when you really never noticed that before is because it's rising up so that you can notice it, so that you can look at it without judgment and let it be healed. So, some of these things, when they show up, they're kind of painful to look at, But this is saying rejoice, Thank God you're seeing. Maybe you're starting to notice how you lie all the time. I mean, you never really noticed it before. They're just little white lies. You do it all the time, and you never thought about it. But now, every time you tell a lie, it's like you see it. Like, I just told another lie. My God, I just exaggerated again. Why do you think you're suddenly seeing how much you lie? Because it's going to be healed. So you just notice it. You don't judge it. You look at, oh, look, I lied again. Ah, I exaggerated again. Ah, I bent the truth again. And you just keep looking at it and noticing it. And the reason you're seeing it now, you've been doing it your whole life and you didn't see it, the reason you're seeing it now is because you are ready for it to be healed. Right?
And every time you see it, that you stop to take a look at it, how does it reduce it or heal it?
Well, I don't know if I can answer the how. I mean, not physically. I mean, it's the God awareness in you looking at it.
No, what I meant is, does that create something in you where you are less likely to say another lie, or were you?
It might not even seem that way. It might seem that way. What might happen is you might start losing interest in lying, for example. So the idea will show up. To tell someone something, you're like, I'd rather just tell the truth. And so it feels like a conscious decision. But it might actually just disappear without you even seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day you might be faced with a situation where somebody asked you a question that before you definitely would have lied. And you just blurt out the answer without even, the truth, without even thinking about it. And you go, oh my God, I know I would have lied there 5 years ago. What's, something's changed. You know, and you, so that's the falling away you were talking about. Like it didn't even feel like you ever made a conscious decision to stop lying. The lying just stopped. So it could happen either way.
There's just one thing I wanted to add to that, something you mentioned earlier, is that this, it seems as if this process is like an ongoing constant. And I know it's, you can cross lines at some point and not be, you know, or mile markers, however you want to say it. But I definitely am seeing that you don't notice, you don't necessarily notice every significant change that takes place as an event occurring.
I agree.
In your, so I'm not saying that, you know, it could happen in your sleep or whatever, but it could, it's possible that you could cross that threshold. Unknowingly, and then discover that you crossed it later on.
I agree. Yeah, you'll just notice that you're being completely different. There are some stories where I can tell these dramatic stories about how, you know, like I let go of the belief in rejection. Like I have this dramatic story. But there are other things I let go of. I can't tell you when it happened. Yeah. It just, you know, just...
Yeah, I wish there was an event I could put my, you know, like and say it was, you know, flash. And it was like the size of a billboard and the fog, lifted, and there was the answer. But oftentimes, it's very mild, and it's just like,
yeah.
I noticed that I really have completely no interest at all in being falling into that, what they call a habituated thought behavior pattern, thought pattern. Mm.
All right, so let's see. Starting with verse 22. Rest in the faith of your innocence. Let this misperception go now as it stands for you to see. And again, this could be anything that has shown up. You know, you're noticing that you're lying. You're noticing that you're not kind or hateful or whatever you want to call it. Just whatever is showing up for you, it's saying have faith in your innocence. And then let this misperception go. And again, the way you let it go is by looking at it and not believing it. Looking at it and not judging it. That's what letting go is. Just looking. It will leave on its own. Verses 23 to 25. What you see is what you see because it is a reflection of what is in your mind. What you see is not a fact in that it cannot be changed or cannot be seen differently. What you see is only fact, and that it is a fact that it is a reflection of what is in your mind now. Accept this fact. So, you know, if the idea, you know, if I start seeing how kind of hateful I am with people all the time, just short-tempered and hateful, and I start seeing it over and over and over again, you know, the mind wants to say it's a fact, I'm hateful, right? That's what I am, I'm hateful, that's a fact. This is saying that's not the fact. The fact is that you believe you're hateful. Right? That's the fact. So accept that that's the fact. You believe you're hateful. Well, guess what? If I am hateful was a fact, I'd be stuck with it. Mm-hmm. I believe I'm hateful. If that's the fact, am I stuck with it? No. Because a belief can be healed, changed, right? So make sure you're accepting the correct fact when you're looking. Don't accept the incorrect fact. Look at the reflection and see what you did not see before. All that you see is in your mind, and you are the power that can change it. Is what you see that which you know to be your truth? If it is not, it is misperception, and it will fade away through your willingness to release it to do so. So again, if it's not something, if it's not an attribute of God's, it's not true about you. Or anyone else. You know, because maybe your thought isn't, I'm hateful. Maybe what you see is every time somebody else talks, you're thinking, oh, she's so hateful. My God, she's hateful. You know, you're actually still seeing the same thought, the hateful thought. It's just in this situation, instead of it being here, it's projected out there. But if it keeps showing up, oh, she's so hateful. Look how hateful. And you know, start noticing, boy, how much you think she's hateful or he's hateful, right? It's the same opportunity to be healed. You know, and it's the same opportunity to look at it and notice it. And if it's not an attribute of God, it's not true about her. It's not an attribute of God. It's not true about me. It's just something that needs to be looked at until it's healed. So that's it for 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 2. And if we were to take an assignment, I would think the assignment would just be, and this is just going to be kind of like a chance, I'll call this a Las Vegas assignment, if in the next week something starts coming up in your awareness, trust that it's there to be healed, and just notice it. How's that?